Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him. I'm a queer political activist, actor, comedian, self-proclaimed sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by other fabulous minorities and some allies tackling the news, pop culture, politics, media, entertainment, and history with a little self-care, self-love sprinkled throughout, all for our own personal and collective empowerment. It's your Minority Corner Rewind, and for this week, we are going to continue our re-exploration of the Caribbean. It's been coming up a lot in our regular episodes, and also in our Minority Corner Rewinds, we revisited Hispaniola. Glory, a few weeks ago, told us about the other side of Hispaniola when she talked about the DR. We've talked about Haiti, we've talked about the DR, which all encompass Hispaniola, and we're going to go even further back in time and explore another group that was connected to the region, and we're going to discuss the Taino people, which has slightly come up, I believe. Glory had mentioned them a few weeks ago, and so we're going to talk about the Taino people, their culture, where they existed and thrived before that asshat Christopher Columbus. Why does he still have a holiday if that is the case in your state city? Let's change that ASAP. And just essentially lifting up the culture of the Tainos, their history, which was completely pretty much erased, the things that we can give them credit and thanks for, and just also talking about their what ultimately being their eradication. It is time to end the practice of Christopher Columbusing, or just Columbusing, which still happens. You'll find out how and why, and maybe it's happening in your community. And then at the very end, we will also have our fact check as well for our last week's episode, and we'll do that. We'll do the damn thing. Here we go. I hope you're having a great, wonderful week. Here we go. It is the Minority Corner Rewind, the history of the Tainos. Let's go.
It's James's corner.
Well, I'm gonna.
Should I keep frowning? Am I frowning still?
Don't you dare take that frown off. Don't you dare.
Okay, it's still
keep
on.
Keep that
it's
frown
still
on. This is the frowniest episode we have ever done. And, you know, piggybacking off of, I think, just the same just cultural fucked upness. Last week I talked about the indigenous, the history of just the, what we've done to, not we, well, no, not we, what they did.
Yeah, well, America.
America did to the, you know what, and here's the thing, I will take ownership of it because I am trying to make it part of my mission to rectify that. So in the same way, like Manhattan Young Democrats, look at the history of how you affect your people have affected other disenfranchised people and make it a mission to rectify that. Also, I just want to point out, listening to Aneke's Corner, I said this to you offline, that I just think about how forgiving, you know, Mexicans, Latinos, Black people, Indigenous people are towards America and white people. Incredibly forgiving because it's fucked up.
America is fucked up.
Yep, there it is. A tale as old as America. And actually even older than that, just Europe, fucked up. Speaking of Europe, there's a lot of Spanish fucked upness here. So the Tainos, I came across the Tainos in John Leguizamo's the history of Latin American history for dummies. And they're so fascinating in the story. I was like, ooh, that should be its own little mini corner. And so the Tainos were the first to have greeted Columbus, and which means they were long ago wiped out. They were an Arawak people, and so they were around in the Caribbean and Florida, and by the time in the 15th century when Columbus had landed, they were in, Cuba, Jamaica, Hispaniola, which you talked about in the third episode of Minority Corner. It's a long-ass
deep. That's a deep-ass
deep
cut.
Deep cut, third episode. So you want to learn about Hispaniola, that got you covered. And so also the Dominican Republic and Haiti and Puerto Rico. So they had, it was a big region that the Tainos were covered in. Words like canoe, hammock, barbecue, tobacco, and hurricane come from the Tainos.
Cool. Yeah.
And their settlements began probably around 400 BC, it's estimated. They even stretch as far as Venezuela. They just had large reaches. And there were three different groups of the Tainos. So there was the Western Tainos of Jamaica, Cuba, and the Bahamas.
Oh, my people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The classic Tainos. I don't know what they're the
classic.
Western Tainos. What? Classic Tainos. Okay. The classic Taino.
All right.
Classic Taino is Hispaniola in Puerto Rico. And the Eastern Tainos, and they were like in the Antilles area. And there's a fourth lesser known group that was maybe in Florida. Also, fun fact, Haiti is known as Land of High Mountains, which is now known as Haiti.
Interesting. Yeah.
So there were about a ton of chiefdoms that had the Tainos made up of a lot of chiefdoms that were ruling, like sort of leading their people. They did a lot of great things. They cultivated yuca
like the yuca root?
Yes, and sweet potatoes, maize, beans, other crops. Like, they were doing it up.
Yeah.
And I think it's also so fascinating, too, because other cultures, like, around the world were also learning how to use, like, rice. So I would think it's always so fascinating when you find other things that are in other parts of the world that it was how connected I think we are in the great mind that we all maybe share.
I mean, we're all people.
We are, exactly.
Believe it or not.
Put a pin in that. We're all people. Think about that. And there was probably about 3 million in Hispaniola alone by the end of 15th century. That's a lot of folks we're talking about. So Spanish colonizers described these towns of the Tainos. They were very densely settled, well-organized, and widely dispersed. Mm. They were all over, you know, a lot of different regions. And in Puerto Rico, one of those chiefdoms estimated about 3,000 folks hanging out in their little chiefdom village.
Wow. Okay.
They also had a lot of great innovation. They learned how to siphon cyanide from the yuca.
Wow. Okay. That's
developed.
Feel sorry for those early experiments.
Developed pepper gas for warfare. Got to protect yourself.
Wow. Okay. All right.
They had to protect themselves. Because also there was, I forget the name of this other tribe that was like after them. They were trying to beef with them all the time. And they're like, leave us alone.
Oh.
And so they had to protect themselves. And they devised pharmaceuticals from nature. And they also.
They were fucking chemicaling it up.
They were living it up.
Into this.
They built ocean-going canoes, which made me think of like, maybe they hooked up with Queen Khalifa and her crew. I don't know.
Probably.
There was about, like, they had a boat. They had canoes that had like 100 paddlers on them.
Oh, I love it. Seafaring.
They also played games with a ball made of rubber. And Europeans were like, but what is this substance? I've never seen this before. They had never seen rubber before.
Well, they don't got rubber trees over there.
Yeah, they did not know about rubber. So
That makes sense.
I mean, the Tainos, again, like rubber, what an innovation. What are your tires made out of? What is your dodgeball made out of? Rubber. So, and they didn't.
Tires and dodgeball, two things that we need.
Yeah. And they didn't have a written language, but they had extensive poetry and lots of DIY. They were known for their fabulous woven belts and dyes, working the fashion front.
Did you just say DIY? No shit. Everything was DIY.
Well, this popped into my head when I was doing.
We hadn't reached the industrial age yet.
In my head, when they were describing what they made, I was like, oh my God, DIY.
Don't make this into an Etsy store. Who are you?
Right. I honestly didn't realize. Like, oh, they were really DIYing.
Yeah, we all were.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I was like, ooh, Aneke will like this. They were DIY. They also, like, they had their enigmatic images from wood. They're cut out. They're stone and shell and bone. Just a lot of DIY. And
I'm not getting behind this.
The Tainos were known for their DIY.
Stop it.
And Columbus was so impressed with their generosity, which it's
this
noted
guy.
That it may have led to their undoing. Because here's what Columbus had to say in 1942. He said,
Not 1942. Yeah, was this Richard Columbus?
Fuck that guy. Yeah. Again, so I got the 40s on the brain. The ghost of Columbus was haunting us. He was like, give me a holiday. And since you're doing so much fucked up shit, America. So in 1492, he said,
there we go.
They will give all that they do. They will give all that they do possess for anything that is given to them, exchanging things even for bits of broken crockery.
What a dick.
They were very well built, but they're very handsome bodies and very good faces.
Ew.
They do not carry arms or know of them. They should be good servants.
This guy's a dick.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He's like, here, do you want some of this broken shit that you don't know about?
Oh, yeah.
No, fuck you, guy. Ugh,
oh,
God.
Oh, yeah. He even talked about, too, like, how they don't know, like, you know, any of the evils of the... They don't know any evils. They don't murder or steal. And he said, Your Highness...
I mean... They're taking cyanide out, so he didn't know what the fuck he's talking about. They were murdering some people.
They were protecting themselves. They were protecting themselves from that crew that had it in for them. The East Compton Clovers, no, not them. Who was the Torrance Tigers from Bring It On? I just watched Bring It On again recently, so I got on the brain.
I see you watching that Ariana Grande video.
Oh, that's what it was. I got this Ariana Grande video. It's
you
up
and
in
the
my
rest
head.
Of
she
this
did a
world.
Good job. She did a good job. You know what? In sidebar to tangent, which we don't do often, I would say she did a great job of making her music video, Ariana Grande, Thank You Next, an event, because she would like tweet out little like
I know,
moments.
It's true.
And like,
I felt like such an old woman.
Once it was launched, I was like, oh, I gotta tune in. Like, you know, it's hard to get that for a music video if you're not Beyonce.
True. Very true.
She made an event.
Yeah.
She made an event.
She made it. Her like, PR team is on point.
They did a good job because it's hard. Because remember, Michael Jackson used to make it an event. Mm-hmm. He was gonna launch a music video. It's hard to do these days.
It's very true.
Columbus.
I wasn't that excited about the video. But anyways, go ahead. Yes.
But you still tuned in. You knew it was coming.
It took me a week. But all right.
Also, does Ariana Grande have, like, does she have Mass Effect yet? Like, in the terms of, like, does my mother know who she is? Like, that's what you know when you've got, like, Mass. Like, everybody knows you. Like, everyone knows Beyonce. Like, I don't know if Ariana Grande, she hit that critical Mass level.
We're getting to that point for Ariana Grande, but we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, she's still not there. Like, again, like, Britney Spears hit critical mass. My mom knows who she is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if my mom knows who Christina Aguilera is, but my mom knows who Britney
Christina
Spears
Aguilera
is.
I think Christina Aguilera hit that level.
Critical mass?
Yeah. Okay. Like a Justin Timberlake?
Oh, I don't know. Okay. I don't know if she did. Maybe.
I think so. Okay, back to the Tainos.
Back at the Tainos, he's like, Your Highness may believe that in all the world there can be no better people. They love their neighbors as themselves, and they have the sweetest talk in the world, and are gentle and always laughing.
And I'm going to fucking take them over.
Fuck over them. Yeah. So Columbus in 1494, not to be confused with 1994, but in 1494.
Okay, so 2 years later, he sailed the ocean blue. He's been here mucking shit up for 2 years.
Mucking shit up. He established the first American colony at La Isabel. On the north coast of Hispaniola.
Okay.
And there was a brief period of coexistence of peace. Mm-hmm. Brief.
Yeah, because he was
then
plotting.
The Spaniards moved Taino men from the villages to work in the mines and colonial plantations.
Cool. Step one, guys.
Remember, and the Tainos were, like, giving them stuff and, like, just sharing their land with them. So the Tainos were no longer able to plant crops anymore because they were working too hard. They were working. Mm-mm-mm. And they've been planting these things for centuries, so they didn't have any food, and they were, like, they were dying of, like, starvation.
This is so fucked up.
And they also were, like, feeding these people, and they died of starvation. Many thousands fell prey to smallpox, measles, and other European diseases.
Yuck.
They didn't have any immunity.
Nope.
Sickness was the biggest killer. Some committed suicide to avoid subjugation.
I hate to say it, but it makes sense.
They're like, yeah.
It's an alien invasion.
You woke up and you're in a hellscape. Like, what happened to our world? You would question, like, what did we do, like, to deserve this? Like,
how fucking pompous do you have to be to go show up somewhere and be like, give me your shit and I'm gonna fucking use you to work for me? Like, fuck you, Columbus.
Some committed suicide. Hundreds fell in fighting with the Spaniards. Mm. Some managed to flee to remote regions beyond the colonial control, so some got out.
Good.
So here, oh, get So here's a fucked up thing.
Oh, man.
Spanish. So the Spanish didn't bring any women in the early days, right?
Yeah.
So many Taino women married, quote unquote, conquistadors.
Yeah, combining the genes of
the new world and old world to create a new mestizo population. Oh, yeah, mestizo population, which took on Creole characteristics with the arrival of African slaves in the 16th century.
More rape.
And I was like, oh, my God, this might be some of my... I have Creole blood up in me. The Tainos could be, like, my ancestors, you know, connected up into there.
Well, I mean, when they say Creole, they mean, like, just mixing of people, right?
Well, I understand the Creole to be a specific... When my family defines it as... What my understanding of Creole is specifically, it's of having black, white, and Native American.
That's what, yeah, mixing. So I think like there's certain regions of Creole. Like there's Louisiana Creole, there's Caribbean Creole. Gotcha. It's like all of that.
Okay. So lots of sexual violence that was happening with the conquistadors.
Remember, this is what fucking Gina Rodriguez wants her story to be about.
Oh my God. Circle back to that one from last week, Gina Rodriguez. Is this what you want your superhero epic to be? Because it don't sound good.
It don't sound good.
Unless you want to be the hero that saves them from this mess.
But that didn't happen in history, so it'd be inaccurate. So don't do that shit to us.
So in 1514, a survey showed that 40% of Spanish men had taken Taino wives. And the number is actually expected to be higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1518, an epidemic killed 90% of the natives who had already who had not already perished.
Mm.
So after 50 years, very few Tainos were left. It didn't take a long time for this to happen. And Ricardo Algeria, a Puerto Rican historian, said by 1519, a third of Aboriginal population had died because of smallpox. In the 1530s,
yes,
the question came from the Spanish to the governor.
Uh-huh.
How many Indians are there? Who are the chiefs? The answer was none. They're all gone.
Jesus fucking Christ. Terrible. And this is what we like. Oh, yay, Thanksgiving. No.
We need, I think, to re-examine that entire holiday, move it to something else, or like Indigenous Remembrance Day or something.
And Columbus Day needs to be fucking bullshit. We need to get rid of that fucking rhyme.
It needs to be an Indigenous like Remembrance Day, and we just need to really rework all of this, because again, this was a mass extermination that happened, and it shouldn't be celebrated. It should be a quiet day of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were about 85% of the millions of Tainos were estimated to be wiped out by the early 1500s. So they lost their language, they lost their spiritual practices. They used to have really cool hallucinogen induced Cohoba ceremonies.
They've been doing they did those chemicals, didn't they?
They were into their chems. Yeah.
Chemists.
They knew chemists. Things that we didn't know. Mm-hmm. And it allowed them to, the shamans were able to be in touch with the spirit world. And I bet that they had like a different way of thinking and connecting to things that we don't even see and we don't even connect to.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, they were chemists, so they definitely fucking knew what they were doing. Just from what you were explaining, the little bits of information, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That the historians at the time who favored Spanish, you know that they did, wrote down. Yep. And who knows what else that was lost to that community, culture, people.
I want to run down a quick thing of like, just when you thought Columbus couldn't get any worse, mm-hmm. here's some other extra fucked up shit that he did to the Tainos.
Okay.
So some of them accompanied Columbus back with him to Spain. And on his second voyage, he began to require tribute from the Tainos in Hispaniola. And according to one author, each adult over 14 years of age was expected to deliver a hawk's bell full of gold every 3 months, or when this was lacking, 25 pounds of spun cotton. If this tribute was not brought, the Spanish cut off the hands of the Taino and left them to bleed to death.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's awful.
I had no idea.
It's disgusting.
In 1511, there was a bunch of tribes who tried to, some of them were warring, and they tried to revolt against them. And I think it was a Taino chieftain who had fled from Hispaniola to Cuba with 400 natives to unite the Cuban natives was burned at the stake on February 2nd, 1512. Mm. Yeah, so I just wanted to touch on the Tainos.
No,
not
I'm
the
glad
most
that...
uplifting story, but I wanted to highlight, like, this is, like, one of, like, many stories, you know, of a group of people.
I wanted to, like, before you, like, totally wrap it up.
Yeah.
I want to connect this to modern day.
Yeah.
There's that one guy, the missionary, I forget his name at this moment. I think his last name is Chow.
Yeah.
Who was killed by a native tribe in an island that's off of India, I want to say. Mm. It's close to India. So it's one of the, like, rarest last indigenous secluded hunter-gatherer type tribes that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
And this guy got it in his thick noggin that he was going to convert them to Christianity. One, he was killed.
Oh.
And that's sad, right. But at the same time, leave
people alone. Yeah.
Leave people alone. If people have their own culture and they've been existing for hundreds and thousands of years doing their own damn thing, don't think that you're better than them.
Yeah.
Don't think that you can go in there and share whatever you have when they, without thinking about what they have,
yep,
and what they can offer, yep, to themselves, mm-hmm, and how you may be bringing diseases, how you may be bringing in
colonizers, diseases and stuff, and like just
all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So one, I don't want to celebrate a death, but two, leave people alone.
Mm, yeah.
Let's really end the legacy of Columbusing areas, ooh, and lands and people and stuff, because it's destruction.
It's destruction. I mean, Columbusing, like modern day Columbusing, I think gentrification is modern day Columbusing. Like stop Columbusing. Stop
yeah,
taking other people's stuff. There is one victory I left off. So a Taino, ooh, chieftain by the name of Enriquillo mobilized over 3,000 Tainos in a successful rebellion in the 1520s. So,
all right,
that's pretty, okay, dope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then starting in about 1840, there were attempts to create a quasi-indigenous Taino identity in, mm, areas of Cuba, the Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. And the trend, okay, accelerated among the public Puerto Rican community in the United States in the 1960s. So there are folks in the DR and PR who do identify as Taino, who are holding up that flag and that legacy.
Good. So it exists through them.
Through
good.
Them. Yeah. So a little bit of history to round out that Thanksgiving weekend, and also just what Aneke was talking about, just a lot of parallel themes of...
Yeah. Learn your goddamn history. That's the theme of this whole episode.
Yep. Learn it.
Or you're going to be an insane country like United States, or say something stupid like Gina Rodriguez,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, try and be a missionary Save-A-Ho and end up being killed. So learn your history.
I will bring you a whole person, and you will bring me a whole person, and we will have us twice as much of love and everything. That is a quote from Mari Evans. This is a friend of mine dropped off this book of poetry that I'm starting to read. I feel like a real adult. I have a book of poetry by Jericho Brown, and it's called The Tradition. It won the Pulitzer Prize, and I'm just reading a poem a day. And in the very forefront of the book is that quote from Mari Evans, and it just resonated with my entire whole being. I think we can all agree with so much banana shit that is happening. The world could use as much love. Just imagine if everybody brings to the table twice as much love. There we go. There's a love deficit that's happening. So let that quote give you all the tingles that it was giving me. And give a friend a book of poetry. It's a great gift to give somebody. Give someone just a random gift that'll make them feel good. It'll make you feel good. Let's give some love. All right. Let's go to our review of the week. Speaking of, this is actually really, this is all like coinciding. I think we're having a very therapeutic week here, because this review of the week on the Apple Store, 5 stars, and it says, literal therapy. This is by Therapy Junkie. Love it. Y'all know I'm a huge fan of therapy. In fact, just finished my therapy today before I sat down and recorded this for you. And they said, I recently started listening to Minority Corner and love it. I've been wanting to educate myself on Black history and current events, but every source I tried overwhelmed and depressed me in a huge way. MK has the perfect blend of levity and gravity to help me face hard truths about my culture and belief systems. Because get this, Bouncing back and forth between happy, playful, emotional spaces and painful, heavy ones is a therapeutic technique. It's called somatic experiencing. That allows one to process difficult concepts without feeling existentially threatened by them. Thank you for pulling me out of my one-note ignorance in a way I could handle. 5 stars. Thank you so much for writing that. I feel so kismetically, is that a word, tied to this, because again, I just said I got out of therapy. My friend brought me this book of poetry, which has also been therapeutic, and then you have written that beautiful post. And so glad that this is providing a space of healing and levity and learning. We like to throw in some comedy in it as well, because if we're not just laughing, we're just gonna be crying and hurting. And hopefully the information that we're providing to you, it seems digestible, and I hope you don't feel overwhelmed by it, because it can. But we will, as my therapist said, continue to expand ourselves to be able to take this in. And I think laughing allows it to happen, right? We're able to shake off some of that anxiety. And when you laugh, there's sort of a bouncing up and down that happens in your physical body. You release some of that stress and you just make more room to expand, because we are made of some dope ass rubber, courtesy of the Tainos. We have a quick fact check. So we had mentioned that Donna Trump had said something about Ted Cruz. We weren't exactly sure. And we were like, oh, did he say something about like Ted Cruz's dad had assassinated JFK? Let's see. Trump had initially pointed out to an Inquirer story which featured Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, pictured with Lee Harvey Oswald while handing out Fidel Castro pamphlets in New Orleans in 1963. So he essentially was like linking his father to Lee Harvey Oswald. And he also like said a bunch of disparaging things about his wife. I just don't understand, Ted Cruz, what's going on? The power grab, is that what this is? This is about power. The man is, I hope his wife has left him. Like, please, please leave. But you know what? She's probably a terrible person too. She's been married to him that long. Maybe she sees something that we don't. Oh, and I couldn't remember the anchor on MSNBC. I had mentioned that they would not appreciate this, but these ladies, actually, no, I mean, they should. The Charlie's Angels are dope. I call them the Charlie's Angels of journalism. Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow, and Nicole Wallace. There it is. And I couldn't remember the dude, and it was Brian Williams. So he was anchoring, and then he would turn it over to them. And I like the dynamic because I'm a huge fan of Charlie's Angels, and I think the Charlie's Angels are dope. So what at me? So Amanda wanted to point out that she said that she refused at the very end of the segment. She said, I refuse to let conservatives own conservatism. And what she meant to say was, I refuse to let conservatives own patriotism. They don't get to own that. If anything, they have been incredibly unpatriotic as they've been letting our democracy crumble and not standing up for what this country has really been about and standing up for our rights, which has just been being dismantled left and right. And then Amanda wasn't for sure if KFED had gotten a restraining order against Jamie Spears, Britney Spears' dad. And according to AOL.com, back in September 4th, 2019, so over a year ago, Kevin Federline filed a police report and was granted a restraining order against Britney Spears' dad, JB Spears, after a fight involving the couple's 13-year-old son. Ooh. Britney had the boys at Jamie's condo on the evening of August 24th, and Jamie and Sean Preston got into an argument. Sean Preston felt unsafe and locked himself into a room. Jamie broke into the room and shook Sean Preston. So apparently Jamie has a temper, which is no secret around anyone in the family. And fortunately, Britney did the right thing and took her boys to safety and away from her father. And the whole situation was very unpleasant. So good call, Amanda. We have fact checked it. It is true. That did indeed happen. And I love this tweet of the week. This comes from @ReColeman08. They said, just signed up to do phone banking training for #JoeBidenKamalaHarris2020, thanks in large part to the most recent episode of At Minority Corner. We have work to do. Yes, go off, Rachel. Yes, doing the work, getting in. I will say that I know myself and some other friends who signed up for the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris campaign, their text banking, it like goes really fast, the batches of text. So definitely I would say also volunteer if you can, because you're feeling excited. And then it's so sad when they're like, we ran out of text for the day and you've got no one to text. The Adopt a State program is really still looking for volunteers. We know the Senate is going to be so incredibly important, especially with being able to block the Supreme Court justice. As we know, I don't know if you know, heard about, there's like three senators who have contracted COVID and will not even be able to vote. So the vote might be postponed. So getting in the Senate, and there's a theory that if we win the Senate, and even win this and win the election, when we do those things, that's what we're going to do because we're all volunteering, we're all doing the work. But when we do that, the Senate will be less inclined to try to push through a judicial nominee because it will not be reflecting the will of the people. So getting involved in the Senate races is going to be so incredibly key. So definitely head to Adopt a State. We'll put the link in the show notes and you can find the state that you want to help the most. I'm doing Arizona. Georgia is also in play. And I heard that Mississippi is actually also in play. And the guy who's running for Mississippi Senate, I believe it, yes, Mike Espy, who's running against Cindy Hyde-Smith. So there it is. Mississippi up for play. There's so many different ways to get involved. So many ones that need your help. Find the one that works for you. Okay, we've got the VP debate coming up just tomorrow. We will have a brand new episode for you. We've got the Minority Corner team. We've got our editor, Sarah Brown, and I guess Sam Jackson, who her job title is just growing. You know, our media market manager person, extraordinaire production coordinator, Sam Jackson, will also be back here on this show. And that's going to do it for us this week on Minority Corner. Be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get involved in the election in whatever way is working for you. Text banking, phone banking, writing letters, contacting people, getting out the vote, registering to vote, checking your voting plan, checking your family's voting plan, checking your friend's voting plan. It is just, we're taking this all on as a part-time, full-time job because our democracy in the world is asking us to do that, and we are ready to do it. I'm getting out of here. We'll see you on Friday with a brand new Minority Corner. Thank you all so much for listening to Minority Corner because together, we're the majority. Love y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.